You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich Blog Talk Radio. My name is Thomasina Williams. I'm pleased to be one of your three hosts this morning. I am a strategic thought partner, consultant, and coach to enterprising families. My work focuses on helping clients to build generational success as their family legacy by being as intentional in developing their family's human capital as they are in growing their financial capital. I'm pleased to have with us this morning as co-host the master builder herself, Ms. Ann McNeil, founder of the International Mastermind Association, and a professional development expert who helps people build better lives through her coaching and public speaking practice, which is called Constructively Speaking. Ann is also the owner of MCO Construction. Our third host this morning is Robin Donaldson, known as the Queen of Clean. Robin is the owner of Renew Construction Services, a full-service construction firm. She also hosts the National Association of Black Women in Construction's weekly Think and Grow Rich accountability call every Friday morning at 7 a.m. To join that call, please dial 305-341-2788. That information is in the chat box for you. Again, good morning, and thank you for joining us for today's discussion. We are marching through Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich, which outlines 13 steps to riches. We've covered the first six steps and are today on the 13th step, which is the step of decision. Decision involves mastering procrastination, and I know that we all have had challenges with that at some time or another. Before we start delving into the decision chapter, we want to take a few moments to review the first six steps in Napoleon Hill's 13-step formula. To start us off with steps 1, 2, and 3 on desire, faith, and auto-suggestion, we're going to go to co-host Robin Donaldson. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Thomasina, and as always, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you. So starting out with desire is the first step to riches. It's like the starting point of all achievement. And basically, you need to know what you want. So in Chapter 1, it does instruct us to decide and write down how much money we want to make and what it is that we're willing to do in order to attain your goal. And then also, number two, the second step to riches is faith, which is needed. So it is described faith is the visualization and belief in the attainment of desire, which what you have committed to do. And then also in chapter two, the faith chapter, Napoleon Hill, he gives us a formula. He gives us the self-confidence formula, where it gives us, detailed instructions like, number one, you need to know within yourself that you do have the ability to achieve the object of your definite purpose. Number two, concentrate on your thoughts every morning for 30 minutes, just visualizing and the person that you intend to be. Three, understanding that you can induce your own thoughts by means of auto-suggestion. Four, write down your chief aim in life. And number five, to read it aloud morning, noon, and night. And lastly, I think is to me one of the most important steps, and that's auto-suggestion, because I can be who I want to be. It's like at that time, Robin's in charge, and I am the one who sets the tone for my mind, body, and soul by the repetition of the affirmations, and just knowing that the subconscious mind is hungry, and I have to feed it, or else someone else will. So that is my cap on the first three, which is desire, faith, and auto-suggestion.
Great. Thank you very much, Robin. Now for steps 4, 5, and 6 in Napoleon Hill's 13-step success formula, we're going to go to our master builder and fearless leader, Ms. Ann McNeil. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I'm so excited to talk about one of my favorite chapters in this book, which is specialized knowledge, which is the fourth step. And it is said that specialized knowledge are your personal experiences or observations. It is the fourth step to riches. And I like to suggest to people to niche to be rich when we talk about specialized knowledge. Don't attempt to be all things to all people and become nobody and nothing in the process, because people really look to do business with people they know, like, and trust, especially if they know what you do. And if you specialize, people will always think of you. Once you have that specialized knowledge, you can move to Chapter 5, which discusses imagination. And it is said that the imagination is the workshop of the mind as the fifth step to riches. Napoleon Hill actually goes on to say that imagination, let's call it your imagination, is literally your workshop wherein you get to fashion all of your plans created in your own mind of the desire which you have been given. It is now shaped and formed. Now you're able to take your imagination, move on to the next chapter, chapter 6, and take action on your organized plans with the imagination, coupled with the desire, with the impulse of all of your actions. And that brings us to the chapter we're in now, which is talking about decision, because how do you go from organized planning to now making a decision to take action? Because if you have all the decisions you can desire, but if you're not willing, you can have all the plans you desire, but if you're not willing to make a decision to take action, no movement.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Anne, for sharing those last three steps of the first half of the 13-step formula. So we've got to recap quickly. Step 1, desire. Step 2, faith. Step 3, auto-suggestion. Step 4, specialized knowledge. Step 5, imagination. Step 6, organized planning. And as Anne says, that brings us to the 7th step, which is decision, pulling all that together into concrete action to move yourself forward. Napoleon Hill explains that decision is actually the opposite of the lack of decision, which is procrastination. And procrastination is something I know that I certainly suffer from. I think we all suffer from at times. The cure for procrastination is simply to make a decision. Napoleon Hill urges us in doing so to make our decisions quickly, to not waste time, but to also be very slow to change our decisions. To kick off our discussion of this chapter on decision, Anne, would you like to share with us the first decision that you made in this direction to thinking and growing rich?
Absolutely, absolutely. As I was rereading this chapter and listening to the audio in preparation for the show today, it dawned on me that when the founding fathers, as we know them to be, when they made a conscious decision in their life, when they made a conscious decision to go against England and decide to create a correspondence committee among the colonies to write out what they wanted for their lives and having a better quality of life, which we now know as, you know, the Declaration of Independence. And all of a sudden it dawned on me just this morning on my walk that if I had not picked up this book on December 31st, 1979, and if I had not decided to begin to read it, and if I had not decided to make a decision that night, which I am now going to start calling my Declaration of Independence. Come on now, somebody, okay?
I love it.
My Declaration of Independence to myself was that I did not want to live like that anymore, being broke, busted, and disgusted, but poorly, hopeless, and not understanding how. And just a matter of fact that we are living in these United States because of the decision that those guys made. Just because of that, we are on this call. Because one person made a decision in 1979 not to live like that, which was broke, busted, and disgusted, and hopeless anymore. And my question and challenge to every single person who's listening, who will listen, who have listened, what is your Declaration of Independence? And what decision are you willing to make in your life, in your business, in your family, in your health, in your finances, in your spiritual, your civic, your creativity, your philanthropic activities? What decisions are you willing to make today? Allow today to be your date, Declaration of Independence. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Love it, love it. Thank you so much for sharing that, Anne. You know, as you share the story about the decision that you made, it reminds me of a decision I made myself probably, oh my gosh, maybe 15, 20 years ago, quite some time ago. I decided I wanted to do something different in my professional life. I had no idea what I wanted to do. But there is a book I had bought. The book is called The Path, by a woman whose name is, I think it's Mary Beth. And it's a spiritually based book. And The Path essentially is a process for creating your own personal life's mission. And I bought this book, I don't know, probably a couple of years before I actually decided to sit down and read the book. I'll never forget, it was one Saturday morning. I was still living in Miami. And I was just really restless, and I couldn't figure out why. So I got up that morning and decided that if it was going to be different, if my life was going to be different, it was up to me. If it was going to be, it was up to me. I was the one who had to make it happen. And I got up that Saturday morning, and I started reading that book called The Path, and I read the entire book in one day. And I sat down and went through the process of steps, and I created my life's mission statement, which still serves me to this day. It's a guidepost, the guiding principles by which I decide whether I'm going to make this move or that move. And it really all started with a decision, recognizing that if it was going to be, it was up to me. And no one can make our lives different, no matter how many times we read Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, no matter how many times we go through the success formula. If we're just going through the motions and haven't made a decision to act on the information that we have, to act on the knowledge that we have, then nothing is going to be different. One of the things that the I believe it's the specialized knowledge chapter talks about is simply having knowledge is not enough. The question becomes, how do we operationalize that knowledge? How do we monetize that knowledge? How do we take that knowledge, make a decision, and act on it? With that, we're going to go to our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to open up our phone lines for our callers to join us. You're listening to today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Good morning, and welcome back to Think and Grow Rich. This morning, we're talking about step 7 of Napoleon Hill's 13-step formula for success and riches. We're talking about the importance of making a decision, a definite decision, to master that tendency that we all have to procrastinate. For those who are listening on the call, if you'd like to join this morning's discussion, please press the number 1 on your telephone touchpad. That will raise your hand, and we will invite you into the conversation. Right now, we're going to go to co-host Robin Donaldson, the Queen of Clean. Robin, I'm certain that you have a story that you can share with our listening audience about the value of making a definite decision and a decision that you yourself made.
Yes. Wow. The decision that I made, yeah, it really changed my life. And that decision came back in 2014, March 8th. I was in a very bad car accident. Now, mind you, I had my own salon. So, of course, you know, hours at a time I would be standing. So after the accident, I was no longer able to stand for long periods of time, let alone have my arms and hands elevated for any length of time. So I had, my decision was to just live again. I mean, I had to literally reinvent my life because for 20-some years I've been a hairstylist. And then the idea of going back into the workforce, I wasn't really sure which trait that I have that I would utilize or where I would even begin. I just did not know. So I had to, I spoke about it with a good friend of mine, and she suggested construction because she's in construction. And then I said, well, you know, I did study industrial electricity when I was in trade school, but I knew at the age of 40, 44 that I did not want to, you know, work in the sun or bend conduit or pull any wire or anything. So I had to come up with a plan. And then once I came up with that plan, which is that desire, I knew now that I had to go back to school. And again, at my age, sitting in a classroom with students that's the age of my baby girl, my daughter. So it was, trust me, the first couple of months, I really wanted to quit because I felt like I was really behind. And again, it was like almost 30-some years since I've been in school, so I had to retrain my mind again. And then I had to make another decision, which would be if I'm wanting to achieve this degree so I can make more money, I would need to go at a full-time basis. So now the decision was, okay, how am I going to do this? I have a business, at that time I had started doing residential cleaning. And so therefore I was just getting the business started. And then also I was embarking on something new to me. I'm sitting in the classroom about 6 hours a day. And so for me, that was the decision, the most important decision that got that started a whole bunch of other decisions that I had to make. And lastly, the decision was to not quit. Like, no matter what, I have to do it. And for me to stop right now, because a couple of times I did sit out a couple of semesters because of different things that happened in my life. And with all honesty, I used those excuses when I did sit out the following semester. But then I had to just really get real with myself. And I think about that time, it was like my fourth read. So therefore, all of those principles and everything just really started just, how Miss Ann would say, when you read them, they would start reading you. And then they literally convicted me. Then they started talking to me like, Robin, how dare you? You made all of these arrangements and sacrifices to get into school and start your business, and you gonna stop now because of a death in the family or because of your health. So for me, it's all about decisions. And, again, once I made that initial decision to change my livelihood, change my life, to start in a career or study a career that is male-dominated. I mean, I was a fish out of water, but I made that decision to do all that it takes in order to achieve the ultimate goal, which is of being a general contractor and getting my degree. Now, it may take 5 years, 5 or 6 years to get a 2-year degree, but again, that was the journey. So I hope that answers the question, Thomasina, but, you know, life is full of decisions. Once you make the big decisions, the smaller ones will come very easily for me, what they did for me. And then also by understanding what it is that I wanted, and then the self-confidence formula, knowing that I have the ability to do all things, encompassed, I mean, it's just been... Again, once you have that first decision, you jump that first hurdle, all the others come very easily to you. And then knowing exactly what it's going to take to get it, breaking it down into little bite-sized pieces. And sometimes for me, I had to break it down in 15-minute increments. Again, just the decisions, decisions, and decisions. And today I have made a decision that I will stop at nothing and let no one deter me for what it is that I have to do. And with that being said, I am now able to make a decision swiftly because I know what it's going to take. And if anything comes to me foreign, I'm going to reject it because, again, I know exactly what it's going to take in order to achieve my ultimate goal. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Robin. That is a powerful, powerful testimony about the power of decision. It also, I think, highlights what Napoleon Hill talks about in this chapter when he says that all definite decisions require faith and courage. And he emphasizes courage quite a bit. The decision that you made to go back to school after having been out for, as you said, 30-some years, and be sitting there in a classroom with children who literally could be your children, that took courage. And it also took persistence is another thing I heard you talk about, which is the 8th step in the formula for riches that we're going to talk about in our next show. But that decision to take the courage, to have the courage to keep moving forward, to make the sacrifice, to start a new business, to start over again, whereas some people might have just kind of stayed there and stayed stuck, but you drew on your faith that you had the knowledge, that you had the skills, that you had made the sacrifice. You took the courage to make those sacrifices, and then you stayed with it. You made the decision, and you did the work to bring that decision to fruition. So that's a powerful, powerful testimony. Right now I'm going to open up our phone lines by going to our caller whose number ends in 6688. And caller, I'm going to also ask you to go ahead and press the number 1 on your phone again. That will raise, take your hand down and let us know that you have already joined the conversation. Good morning. Do you have a question or a comment?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. It is really a pleasure to listen to you ladies in the morning. This is my third time listening to your Blog Talk Radio. My name is Laverne Blackwood. I'm an HR consultant, and I have just started working and being around one of your members, Ms. Ann McNeil, and I had the opportunity to pick up the book. I am very excited. Actually, when I came to this chapter 7 on decision, I said, wow, are they talking about me? Because, you know, not in the getting there stage, but in the, oh, my goodness, this is what I do. This is how I see myself in the procrastination. And, you know, I see the potential to get better. But my question lies in this section that I read on page 150. And it says, keep your own counsel when you begin to put into practice the principles described in this book. By reaching your own decisions and following them. Take no one into your confidence except the members of your mastermind group, and be very sure in your selection of this group that you choose only those who will be in complete sympathy and harmony with your purpose. So my question is for you ladies, Ms. Thomasina, Ms. Robin, Ms. Ann. How do you, as women, professional women, handle jealousy, envy in, you know, your professional life and use it as an opportunity to keep growing and keep staying and sticking with those decisions that you're making?
That's a great question, Laverne. Thank you for listening and thank you for asking the question. The first thing that came to mind when you posed that question is a saying that Les Brown, who is a friend of the show, who's been actually a fairly recent guest on the show. And one of the things I love that Les says is, what you think about me is none of my spiritual business. What you think about me is none of my spiritual business. It also reminds me of something my grandmother used to say. And, you know, some of my little friends or people in the neighborhood would have something to say because I, you know, went to a private school and I was the only person going to a school and I thought I was this and I thought I was that. And I remember talking to my grandmother one afternoon and she looked at my hands and she said, baby, don't worry about it. The fact that people are talking about you means that you're doing something, that you're going to make something of your life. People who talk about other people have time to do that because they're not doing anything with their own lives. And I think my grandmother didn't say this, but tying this back to this chapter on decision, I think Napoleon Hill would have added to that conversation that other people are talking about you because you are doing what they themselves have not had the courage to do. And so my personal way of dealing with that is honestly, I it's none of my spiritual business. I don't get caught up in what other people think or say or do. I am focused on what my plan is, working my plan, knowing what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, for whom I am doing it, and just stay focused on that. Keep my eye on the prize. So I don't get caught up in or concerned about what other people have to say. It's a distraction. And I think that is why Napoleon Hill gives us this wise counsel to not talk with other people about what it is you're doing, what your dream is of what you want to do, because they do tend to want to bring you down. It's that crab in the barrel syndrome. And if you're not bringing that into your consciousness, you can stay focused on your goal. One of the things that we talked about in the auto-suggestion chapter, which is step 4, is in addition to making sure that we're pouring positive thoughts, positive influences into our lives, positive people in our lives, we also have to get rid of the negative. The negative in terms of people, the negative in terms of the kinds of things we watch on television, the kinds of things we listen to on the radio. It's a two-way street, pouring in the positive and getting rid of the negative. And I think this chatter, noise from people who may be jealous, may be demonstrating some sort of envy, is one of those things that we have to block out in order to stay focused. And that's the value of that mastermind. Robin, would you have a comment that you'd like to share with Laverne in response to her question about how you deal with this issue?
I sure would. For me, perception is everything. And again, this is something that I had to learn because I was that person who worried about what everyone said. So, again, perception is everything. So I look at ridicule as an undisguised compliment. Also knowing, and this is like spiritually, that I know that God has a storehouse of riches just for me. For in order for me to prove my worthiness, I have to go through some things. So I'm supposed to have haters. You know, I just see them for what they are. I just, because I know what I have to do, again, I know they're going to come. And then as, again, the Bible says,
Go ahead, Robin.
I'm smiling because, again, this book has done so much. I mean, now I'm reading the Bible. I'm having conversations with God. You know, but, again, knowing that these things are going to come, people are going to come. We're in a male-dominated industry. They are all around. I mean, we have them in our own household. So, again, these people are in place for the, I mean, this is their purpose. I hate to say it that way, but they're there for a reason, just to strengthen who you are and prove your worthiness to your Heavenly Father in order to get the riches that He wants you to have, which is in line in what you're wanting. So, again, perception is everything. And I wanted to add, because also in the chapter of the decision is talking about the naysayers, the haters, and the book also talks about that it would be people in your family, which the Bible says that too. It will be those in your own household. And, again, perception, because my mom, I would say she was the biggest critic. And she even told me, you know, I had a full ride scholarship to go to Georgia Tech studying industrial electricity. She was like, no, you don't need to go to school. You know, you could just trade school. You can just go start working for an electrical company, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Your father just died. I need you to stay here with me. She never meant to rain on my parade, but she knew she didn't even know any better. I mean, she had a ninth grade education? So the idea of me wanting to go to college on a scholarship? Of course, things are put in our place, or we are experiencing things not by chance, but by design. Because I really couldn't even tell you. I mean, I would look and say, possibly if I would have went to school way back then, where I would be. I mean, that I think about it all the time, but I think I am a better me because of what I did go through. Because now when I put something in my mind to do, in my heart to do, you're not going to stop, Robin, because I come with no breaks. So I hope that answers your question, Laverne.
Yes, it did. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that.
And our master builder, I'm sure, has something to share on this subject.
To share how much time you have. Okay. How much time do you have? Haters, what's a hater? Listen, I believe, Laverne, that as long as we, as you, and as we all have a larger vision of ourselves, and we have great clarity about what God has called us to do and to be and to have, we can expect those people to be stepping stones to what He has designed for our lives. And when Tom was sharing, I thought about the fact that when she brought up Napoleon Hill, Napoleon Hill had haters. He had haters in his family and his friends. When Andrew Carnegie asked Napoleon Hill, will you take 20 years of your life and research the philosophy of successful people, and I will not pay you a dime? Oh, my goodness. His family and his friends thought he was crazy. And for a moment, he probably thought he was crazy too. But he knew that if a billionaire in his day saw something in him to believe that he could do it, plus he had a mastermind group of his mom and Andrew Carnegie to help pull him through when things got tough, and they got tough for him. You know, we never talk about the downside, really, of all the things that Napoleon Hill went through. When he had faith to believe, and his faith was strengthened when his son was born without ears. You know, people thought he was crazy to put his son in the school of regular people, but he did not want his son to know anything about death, being deaf. And one of my favorite authors by the name of Julia Cameron wrote a book entitled The Artist's Way. I was reading a section, I just come upon a section that she described, talked about competition and how competition, when you have those thoughts and that competitive spirit, it really takes to do it, inhibits your creative ability and your energy to create. And so she gives some exercises of some things that you can do, and I really would strongly suggest, if you love to read, any of you listening, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron is an awesome book. But I think that when you think back, and Robin mentioned the Bible, when you think back to Nehemiah, when he decided to, you know, go back and rebuild the wall, he had all kind of distractions and haters down on the ground asking him to come down for this, come down for that. So it is really an honor and a privilege to have those individuals in our lives, like Robin said, because really, going back to Thomasina's grandmother, you know, when that happens, you know that you are called for such a time as this. So those would be my thoughts in regards to the question.
Thank you, Anne, and thank you again, Laverne, for the question. Anyone else listening has a question or a comment, please remember to press 1 on your phone to raise your hand. We're going to go to our next commercial break, and we'll be right back with today's discussion about the importance of decision and mastering procrastination.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining us for today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio. We are marching through Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. This morning, we're on the 7th step of his 13-step success formula. The 7th step is all about making definite decisions and mastering procrastination. I'm going to now open our phone lines for our next caller, whose number ends in 1319. Good morning, and do you have a question or a comment you'd like to share?
Good morning, Thomasina. How are you? This is Nefreda, and hello to the rest of your panel. Good morning. I have been sitting here listening in awe and just enjoying this show. This has been such a dynamic opportunity for me to hear you talk about something that I've struggled with for many, many years, and that is procrastination. I am not in the section of the book that you're in now, but I've read this book on more than one occasion, and I'm going back through it again, but with a different mindset, and now I really understand why it's important to read back through the book. And my question today is for Ms. Robin Donaldson, and really for all of you to answer, but Robin gave a very powerful story, and I want to go back to that because there could be listeners, and also like myself, who may have had devastating things happen in their lives and did not pick back up or know how to pick back up. And I just want to know, for those of you who have gotten to where you are in your careers and your decision-making, in addition to reading Think and Grow Rich, what are some of the hard knocks things that you had to release in order to move you from where you are in that place where you had lost activity of standing up and your business had to completely shift and change, Robin? And Thomasina, going from a lawyer to helping families, I'm a very powerful lawyer. I remember you from being here in South Florida, a very powerful, very rich lawyer, to going to what you're doing now that's going to be your business. How did you make those transitions? And Anne, I mean, you can't even begin to explain what she's been through and how she changed her life. So there are people out here who are stuck in those areas where something happened and they could never dust themselves off and get back up. So if each one of you could talk about that. And Robin, I'd like to start with you, and I'm going to go back on mute or you can take me off. Thank you so much, ladies.
Okay.
Thank you
so
for
I'm
the question, Freda.
Yeah, I was trying to make sure I understand the question. You're wanting to know how did I can, aside from reading the book, how I was able to continue? That's the question, right?
I believe, yes, that
basically,
was the question.
Basically, Robin, can you hear me still? Am I still on the air?
Yes.
We can hear.
Okay. Basically, Robin, what I'm saying is that while you're reading the book and all of that, there are some things that you had to let go, some steps you had to take to get from where you were to just a mindset of, I've got to let my business go. You know, just that mindset, because you've got some people who are still sitting and maybe listening today that are in that space and they don't know where to begin. The book is one spot, but there are some things you had to let go and just decide, okay, this ain't going to work anymore. I need to shift and do something else. And I heard your story, but there were some things that you experienced. You may not want to share them all, but just letting them know that you can't run back into to what you know that's familiar, because moving forward looks so scary. I guess that's what I'm trying to get you all to talk about in terms of each one of you individually in your big shift and big change.
Let's see. Yes, I had a lot of obstacles, but I have to go back to the book. That book for me was my roadmap. Just like the Bible
Thank
is the
you.
Roadmap for Lottie. Thinking
Thank
Grow
you.
Rich is the book for life, business, relationships, everything. And that is why I experienced a hard time. Because while I was reading the book, Ms. Hand always say the book was reading me. It was convicted me. Like I would read something, but I didn't apply the principle. I was just reading. But then as the book said it would happen, I would fail. Or I would be convinced that my ideas were irrelevant. Everything the book said would happen, it happened. So when I made that, when I came back around, and again for me journaling, I saw where I was. I said, okay, now I have to do things a little differently. Because again, I kept hitting a blank wall. I kept hitting a blank wall, and for me, it's hard for me to give up power. Or for me to listen to someone. I'm very, very hard-headed. So, again, just reading that book and reading the book, I started listening. I started listening to the words that I was reading. I started listening to my mastermind people. That was one of the biggest things that really, really changed things is the mastermind group. Because the people who I selected to be my mastermind partners will not let me fail. If I fall, they're going to drag me until I can get on my feet. So that was a very important key to me to persist in attaining my goal. And to be really, really real, Nefreda, what I'm doing is what I'm called to do. So therefore, again, it's going to be obstacles in my way and just the way I look at these things now. Because trust me, I used to break all the way down. I started eating more. I mean, I just let all of the circumstances just take effect. I mean, they did with me what they wanted to do. But then again, coming right back around to starting to read that book again, now I understand who I am. I have faith. I'm in charge of any and everything that enters my mind, my touch, all of my senses. I'm in charge of that. So I had to change the music I'm listening to. I had to change the direction in which I take to go to work. Because now I'm seeing people who go take me back to the place that I used to be. So for me, it was really a transformation. Because, again, I was embarking on something that I had not done for years in the industry that I had little information or little knowledge about. So to really answer your question is, again, to just keep it moving and know that all things that happen, they have to happen.
Amen. Thank
and
you,
know,
Robin.
It's like, and I'm sorry because I'm on a roll. It's like even the feeling I have right now, like I'm just elated. Like, I mean, how can I even describe it? Like I said before, like a Christmas kid, like the day before Christmas, you know what you want, and you know you're going to get it, but it's just the excitement of going through the journey of wrapping, of tearing the wrapping paper off, throwing the bowl over to the side. It's like, I'm excited about what next week is going to hold for me. That's how I get up and live. And anything that does not contribute to that happiness, they got to go. So I'm going to go back on mute because I'm on a roll. And just to think that where can you go in the world? What phone number can you dial besides this 661 number and get this knowledge on a Saturday morning from a variety of women in various fields? Everybody comes to the same point, reading that book. And Napoleon Hill, he gave you 100% written guarantee that if you do not apply those 13 principles or a variation thereof, you will fail. Now I'm going to really go on mute for real now. Bye, y'all.
Thank you, Robin.
What I actually think I'm listening to, what I really heard Robin say, what I heard all of you say today, which is what your show is about, she made a decision. She made a decision. And what I guess I've learned, what I picked up from it, is any position that I'm in now is based on decisions that I made. So whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they're based on my decisions. Same thing we tell our kids, decisions have consequences. Those consequences can be good or they can be bad. It depends on your decision. And you had to get to the point, but listen to what you all had to do. You all read from the beginning all the way to wherever you are now and reading the book over and over again or whatever and see something different every single time. It's the only book I can think of that does the same thing that the Bible does, which every time you read it, you understand or get the definition of something a little deeper. So, Robin, thank you so much for sharing, and it was so important to hear because you came from a very, very different place, doing hair, your own shop, to I got to shift and do something different because I still got to live. I want to live more abundantly and better. So I'm a go-getter, and I got to go get something different because this is no longer working for me. So that's a big shift. Some people never return from that shift. So thank you for sharing. I appreciate you all letting me be on the call.
And I just wanted to add, Nefreda, that I'm sorry, Thomasina. Life is full of decisions. And like now, I can do all things. I know I'm going to fail 2, 3, 4. It doesn't even matter how many times I fail because I know that I can do all things. And it's just the decision to just get back on the horse, you know. That was fun. I'm going to go back on mute, Thomasina.
And absolutely, Robin, that when you talk about getting back on the horse, because as Nefreda was asking the question, what came to mind for me is a line in a song that says that we fall down, but we get back up again. We fall down, but we get back up again. And I had a friend in Canada who sent me a text message just yesterday. She was wanting to schedule a call this weekend because she's having a rough time. And she's a great sense of humor. So the next text message she sent me was literally a picture of a body, a woman like stretched out on the floor, like she was just knocked out. And I wrote her back and I said, you know, we all fall down at some time. And sometimes you might need to stay down for a while to rest, to rejuvenate and recuperate. But you got to get back up again. And I think what for me is the key is having the faith, and then as Napoleon Hill talks about in this chapter, both faith and courage. Once you have that burning desire that Robin talked about, the burning desire that Napoleon Hill tells us is the first step to riches, when you have that burning desire, even if you don't know what the next step is, and you might be, like I said, knocked down, you still know that you have to get back up because you're called to do that. There's this something in you that's not going to let you stop. And you mentioned, Nefreda, me being a lawyer. I practiced law in Miami for 20 years, and I had a great time practicing law. I made some significant significant difference in my clients' lives, individuals as well as corporations, as well as doing some societal things in terms of the voting rights and the civil rights work I did. I was blessed to make a lot of money doing it, but there came a time when it wasn't enough, when I felt like I was being called to do something else. I had no idea what that something else was, but there was this burning desire deep inside me saying, there's more that you can do. You can be of greater service. You have more of a contribution to make. And so I simply positioned myself. I allowed myself to essentially downsize my law firm and prepare myself for what was coming next. I wasn't sure what that was going to be, but I just stepped out there on faith and had the courage to follow what it was I was being called to do, knowing that Spirit was leading me in the right direction. So that's my testimony. We have a number of calls. You've sparked quite a conversation here, Nefreda. We've got a number of people who are waiting to raise their hands and are waiting to ask a question. I'm now going to go to the caller whose number ends in 5345. The caller whose number ends in 5345. Thank you for joining the conversation this morning. Do you have a comment or a question?
Comment. Yes. I've been listening to Robin, and I've been with her since I think about 13 years now, and I'm loving the journey that she's on. And I see the growth that she's been doing, and she's very stubborn. We're both the same sign, and we're both very stubborn, but I know that she's going to prosper. And I just wanted to read this this passage from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Enough that, you know, that's in the Bible, and you know, he has a plan for all of us. And to say to Nefreda that when you get knocked down, it's not that you got knocked down, it's how you get back up. That's just a comment that I just want to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in to share that scripture. It's all about law and principle. I was just sharing my little vignette about my friend who called me or reached out to me yesterday, and here you come with a scripture that really cements that it is about practicing spiritual law. Thank you so much for sharing that scripture. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to go now to the next person who has been waiting on the line. The person whose number ends in 2748. 2748. Thank you for holding. Your comment or your question?
Yes, good morning. My name is Carol, and I have really enjoyed the show this morning. You've given me so many nuggets said. I've been sitting here writing and writing and writing, writing down what you ladies are discussing so that I can remind myself as I move through my week. But my comment and my comment or concern, what I wanted to discuss is that mastermind group. And Napoleon Hill points it out, and I'm using a revised edition of the book. And I'm on page 150, and in that chapter, in this chapter on decision, chapter 7, he talks about the mastermind group putting together that council, and I call it the wise council that we use to bounce things off of, sometimes that offer varied perspective of where we're going. So if you could talk a little bit about how you decide who's in your mastermind group, how Miss Ann makes decisions about who's going to be in her mastermind group, and how Robin uses the process to determine who's going to be in her mastermind group. I just want to take a few notes to see if I'm kind of in the right ballpark here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carol, for that question. That's a great question for our master builder, Ann McNeil, to start off with.
First, I want to suggest to Thomasina and Robin that we may have just found a name for this morning's show, the Wise Council Mastermind Group. I love it, Carol. Can I get a motion, a second, and a vote? Carol, the Carol, Napoleon Hill very clearly shares that the individuals in your mastermind group must be of like mind and like spirit. And the process he suggests you should use is you choose one person, the very first person that you choose that you want or desire to be in your mastermind group, the two of you must be in total 100% agreement prior to adding the third person. And once the three of you come together and you meet, the three of you must decide to be 100% in agreement to add the fourth and so on and so on. He gives you guidelines and how you want to proceed. I won't go through what the chapter says because, you know, if you continue to listen to this show, we'll get to that. But one of the things that he suggests is that there should be an economic advantage of why you are in the group and how you're going to help each other economically achieve your financial goals, which is the first step to riches, on desire. And as a part of that, this radio program was created out of the International Mastermind Association because what we found, Carol, is that there was a need to create the process of how to start and run an effective and efficient and prosperous mastermind group. So we set out upon coming up with those guidelines, those ideas, and using trial and error. And then we realized that even though you may hold each other accountable, there still needs to be an organization to hold the groups accountable. And therein lies why we created the International Mastermind Association organization itself. And then we realized that just like the individuals meet on a regular basis, and Napoleon Hill suggests in his book, the mastermind group should meet at least twice a week until you are able to perfect what you're doing, and then a minimum of once a week. So we realized at the International Mastermind Association level that there was a need for the association leadership to meet. And we began to meet once a month and began to create an event once a year and then twice a year where we hold the chapters and the groups accountable, hold the mastermind groups accountable for their goals. And so it is really a process that has been documented, Carol, and actually, if my memory serves me correctly, I think you, for the first time in January, joined us at our International Mastermind Association, which was called the Think and Grow Rich Annual Meeting. And the reason we call it a meeting is because it's not a conference. You know, it's not someplace where you're going to have a keynote speaker come up and talk about whatever they talk about. It really is a place for you to come with all of your mastermind buddies
and partners and share and be held accountable at a different level. So thank you so much for that question. But that is how you determine who's going to be in your mastermind group. And I would like to add something else to close. One of the things that I do is that if people would not read, I really don't have time. Because when you think about the fact that our relationships are as strong as our weakest link in that chain. And another favorite author by the name of Charlie Tremendous Jones, he says, you know, you're going to be the same in 5 years as you are today, except for two things, the books you read and the people you meet. And I like to always repeat that when I say it, because it is about the books you read and the people you meet. And that's one of the things that we do inside of the International Mastermind Association as a part of doing this Blog Talk radio show.
Thank you.
Robin, would you like to share? You mentioned the people that you surround yourself with in your mastermind. Would you like to share about how you went about deciding who you were going to associate with as a part of your mastermind group?
Yes. First, they needed to be much smarter than me. I have a couple of mastermind groups for different things. So I have in my mastermind group the person who I aspire to be or who I look up to. Then other people who we have same things in common, you know, people who I'm relatable to. Most importantly, I mastermind with people who will not stop, who have no breaks. They do not take, they don't even entertain failure. I mean, if there's a problem or we've run into a little snag, we're not going to retreat. We're going to find a way to make it happen. Yeah, that would be, you have to have that quality. You have to be a person who's not going to give up, and then a person who again is on the same track that I am. And then, like, I have a mastermind group for architectural design where we talk and we discuss new designs, new technologies, and really I have masterminds in all aspects of my life. So hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to take a commercial break. And in the interim, if you are listening on the line and would like to join the conversation, we're talking this morning about the subject of decision and how it is that we can overcome and master procrastination. Napoleon Hill tells us that that's one of the biggest causes of failure is procrastination. And we've been enjoying lots of words of wisdom this morning. If you want to join the conversation, dial 1 on your telephone, and we will recognize you to participate in the conversation just as soon as we come back from this commercial break.
You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com. /masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
You are listening to the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich weekly Saturday morning call. Thank you for listening in. This morning we've been talking about the subject of decision. Napoleon Hill tells us that making a definite decision is one of the essential steps to riches. It is the opposite of procrastination, which all of us suffer from at some time or another. Robin, would you like to share your closing comments this morning about the importance of making a definite decision?
I don't have any closing comments.
Okay, thank you. I know that our master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is the founder of the International Mastermind Association, and is the reason that most, probably maybe even all of us, have come to this call and come to this important teaching and learn to incorporate it into our lives to get the results that we want. Ann, your closing comments about the power of making a definite decision?
Yes, Thomasina, I have an example that resonated with me while I was reading, and these would be my closing comments about the power of procrastination and how only a decision moment by moment can overcome that, and the benefits and, you know, what you receive when you are willing to push through. A number of individuals on the call with us are also members of our National Association of Black Women in Construction, and we have a South Florida chapter. Last week, Wednesday, and this is the power of a decision. Last week, Wednesday, we were at a point where we were about to make a decision to cancel a billion-dollar luncheon that we had planned, and it was not coming out the way we had planned it. What we do each month is we host this billion-dollar luncheon in South Florida at the 94th Aero Squadron in Miami. And each month we host a billion-dollar plan to have the owner bring their programs and projects to us, and it draws the architects, engineers, and contractors. And because of reading this chapter in preparation for our Black NSA program mastermind group that we do on Mondays and this call, because of reading this chapter, I was faced with a decision when the president of our chapter made a suggestion on a call that maybe we should cancel the luncheon because nobody had responded that they were willing to speak. Nobody had responded that they were willing to present. Nobody had responded that they were willing to sponsor. Now, the procrastination was there because there are things that we can all do to ensure that we've done all we can do. But I knew that I had done everything that I humanly possibly could do by writing and calling and asking people to come, and eventually nothing, nobody. So when she asked about canceling the meeting, I said, can you give me until tomorrow this time, which would have been Thursday, because I knew that I'd done everything. And I literally prayed and I said, God, now, you know, I've done everything. The rest is up to you. And oftentimes what I want to suggest and encourage that once we've done everything, make the decision by faith to pray. And so because of that, Thursday morning, I got up at 3 or 4 o'clock, drove to Tampa, got up and flew to St. Pete for a meeting, a conference. While at the meeting, before it started, I'm standing in the window, looking out on the phone, talking. A guy walks up to me, taps me on the shoulder from Haskell Construction, one of the largest contractors in our state, which is also one of the people that I reached out to. He tapped me on the shoulder and he said, listen, I got your voicemail. I got your message. Your check is in the mail. And if I tell you, all day that day, it was like that, people responding. We hosted that billion-dollar luncheon, and it was the best luncheon we have had in 3 years because
wow.
We raised more money than we had ever had. We didn't only have one title sponsor. We ended up with two title sponsors at the amount. And we had presenters. The people didn't want to go home at the end of the program. We Facebook Live it, and it was phenomenal. And all I could think about as I was sitting there was this chapter and the fact that I'm saying to myself, oh, my gosh, Ann, what if you had buckled and surrendered and canceled? And so I want to close this program by sharing with all of us, especially me, when that road gets tough, and like you said about falling down and getting back up, pray and have faith. And like Robin continued to remind us, pick up this book every single day. read a paragraph, read a page, tear it out. It's only a couple of dollars. But you got to do something that is going to help the decision. Now, let me preface it by saying this. You must work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God and move forward by faith, knowing it is already done. And so I'd like to wrap the show up with that. And like you always say, Thomasina, my last words will be think and grow rich.
Amen, amen, amen. That is a great place to end the show, but I see that Robin has raised her hand. You got her fired up again.
just three things. Life is full of decisions. If you make a wrong decision, just make another one. Also, nugget number two, ridicule is expected, but you never listen to anyone that you wouldn't trade places with. Thirdly, life is like a GPS. You may have it mapped out, but it's not going to start giving any direction until you start moving. And lastly, no individual may have great power without availing himself of the mastermind. Be legendary. Thank you, Carolina.
Thank you, Robin, and thank you, Anne, for this has been a great show. We want to also thank each of our guests who dialed in and joined the conversation this morning. We invite you all to join us back again next Saturday morning, 8 a.m. And in the meantime, pick up a copy of the book and remember to think and grow rich.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.